Well, I wasn't thinking about giving a a long one, but
yeah.
Some of the stuff that many people might not know is back in 2004, we were a very young commission. I think Barbara Rose was the chair. Barbara, still here?
Yes.
Yep, she was the chair. And one of the arguments against becoming a commission was that the state wouldn't give us extra funds in order for us to match our federal grant, because the state found ways not to give us the money, but mainly to just use soft money. So we were looking for ways to partner with different entities so we could find that extra money. We didn't look out of the state. We were looking here only in Nebraska. But like Anil said, Nebraska is well known in the nation because our staff members are very dedicated and believe on blind people, the capability of the blind, and also that mentoring factor, networking. It doesn't matter which organization we belong to, we care about blind people, we are happy when a blind person is successful. So in general, we had some kind of informal type of mentoring. So I got a call back in 2004 from the NFB asking us if we would be willing to partner with them on running a mentoring program. I didn't want to add extra duties to our staff members, but the NFB was giving us the money. I think back then it was $50,000. And this is the part that most people don't know. You know, they give us the money, and we were able to match and satisfy the fate, so we didn't get a reduced our budget the next year. So that was back in those days. Of course, the NAB didn't know we used that money for that, but we did, Daniel. Okay. And we looked for other things. But in general, that was the first time we put together a formal mentoring program. We strengthened that relationship with the NFB and found that how productive that program was. Then the money was away. We restructured a few things here and there. We also got a transition grant for 5 years. That money also went away. And the last few years, as you know, with the lack of real admin and social security funds, plus the mandate to spend 15% of our budget on pre-eds, we needed to do different things. Well, one of the things, as you know, we did was to lay off around 20% of our staff members. So we needed to reassign duties to different of our folks. One of the unfortunate interpretations from the regulations at the federal level is that we need to expend the 15% of our budget on transition, but for instance, transportation cannot be used toward that 15%, room and board cannot be used toward that, or expenses like management for the program cannot be charge into that. But we need all of that in order to run the program. So eventually, we talked to the NFB. They were coming up with this mentoring program again in a different way, more sophisticated. And the federal program does allow for us to subcontract, and they will just charge us, meaning the subcontractor will charge us a fee per mentee, and they include other expenses on that. So that's one of the reasons why we also went into that, and because we needed to restructure the duties of our staff members, because we, like I mentioned earlier, we had to lay off around 20% of our staff. We don't know what the future is going to hope for us, but we are looking forward to continue working on partnership, not just with the NAB, with any consumer organization that will create mentoring opportunities.
Thank you, Carlos. Stephanie, can you add something? You're a mentor, right?
Stephanie?
Kimberly, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sorry, dog on it.
Yeah, I am a mentor also in the career mentoring program. I have three mentees here in the state, and I'm pretty excited. One of my mentees, we've been doing some Braille via FaceTime. I know that sounds kind of strange, but she is a college student and lives out of, you know, my range, and so she gets really excited, and she went out the day we first started and bought muffin tins and tennis balls so she could put her dots in the places and really experience it. It was just, she's excited, and I'm excited for her to learn.
Okay. I'm going to put in a pitch here. And we're always looking for some good mentors, right? And I see some pretty capable people in this room that I would encourage you to consider investing in some young blind people that could benefit from mentoring. And I don't know where we're at, but I think if you've got some, well, I know you've got some talent, and you can find some time, that it's a great investment in the future of Nebraska and the future of the blind. So, or if you know someone, give them a gentle nudge, because it's like anything. I always get more out of it than I give. And you know, when I talk to a sharp young person like Brandon, it kind of motivates me to want to up my game. So we need to be investing in each other a little bit more. So that's my two cents on that. Kelly Coleman, how are we on mentors? Do we need more?
Always.
All right.
Please, if you want to do it, let me know.
And you know, they do background checks, which I would expect. The other thing is they do kind of, it's not like you're just out there by yourself, so there is some like checks and balances, which is good. It's a program with integrity and vision and purpose. So I wouldn't support it. I wouldn't be part of it if I didn't support it. So I think I applaud Carlos for taking on something like this. And you know, we've had some different. We have challenges, and it's one way that we can at least meet the needs now for our transition students. So go ahead, yeah. Becky.
This is Becky. Being a parent of a child with blindness, I guess my main thing with raising her was for her to be happy. And I think that employment is one thing that makes a person happy and gives them independence and makes them feel useful, a useful member of society. And so me being a teacher for the visually impaired as well, that's my main goal for my students, is for them to be happy. And of course, employment is where that can be. So I just love the thought of mentorship, because I can only teach it. I can only give them examples of how, and maybe a little bit of knowledge of ways to find employment through teaching skills and giving resources and such as that. But I'm not living it, and so when I think of mentors, they're living it, they're successful, they're competent. I just think that it's something that is so necessary for all kids to have a mentor, blind or not blind, to give guidance, to express struggles, successes. Employment is not an easy thing for anyone. It can take months, in some instances years, to find the job that you are able to fill, or maybe to open the eyes of employers that you are able to do the job. And I'm trying to think of the one thing that when my daughter Katie applied for a job, her supervisor told her, she says, "Do you know what is the one thing that really spoke to me when I interviewed you, which helped me think that this gal can do it?" She said that is whenever I asked you, why did it take you so long? Why was there such a lapse between when you graduated and when you finally found a job? And she says, because that whole time I was trying to show people that I am capable of doing this job. And so in that time, a person needs to get support and help to know that we can do this, you can do this. And I think that's what the mentor program does. It just allows our kids to know that we can do this, we are doing this. And so I'm thankful that there is a mentor program out there, because our kids do need it.
Well, we have to remind ourselves, the vision or the purpose for vocational rehabilitation is to help blind people get jobs. And we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't a critical component to help blind people get jobs. So it's a early on investment to help blind people get jobs. We got to keep doing that, help people get jobs. So. Okay, any other commissioners got any comments, Brent, or?
I was just going to say, you got to find yourself, you got to find your life, then the rest will fall into place.
Yeah,
here you go. Maurice?
Hey, Maurice,
forgive me first. I would be remiss if I didn't let people know, particularly NCDBI counselors, district managers, we're signing up mentees for our next retreat, which is coming up very quickly, March 6th through 8th in Omaha. So please let us know. We're reaching out to mentees now, and we need mentors to help out with the retreat as well. So Kelly will be reaching out to folks, but just so you know, March 6th through 8th, and looking ahead, the fall retreat will be November, guess what, 6th through 8th in 2020. So the theme of the 6th through 8th of March is going to be on work readiness. So those skills
we need
to take advantage of that opportunity when it comes. Thank you very much,
Mark,
and thank you for your
commission. Well, how about a round of appreciation for participating? All right. Well, again, very good, everybody. Thank you. We do have next on our agenda is, is there a public comment time in here?
No.
No, okay, well, shoot.
After Carlos.
After Carlos, yeah. How about I kick it over to Carlos for a report from the executive director, and I'll hand the microphone over. Thank you.
50% of my report was going to be on the mentoring program, so I'm going to shorten my report.
Lucky you.
Can you guys hear me okay?
No.
No, but
I'm not.
Okay, how about there?
There we go.
All right. Okay. Let me go to my notes here very quickly. I went to Utah the second weekend of November to provide training to blind Spanish speakers about the rehabilitation process, their rights as blind consumers, and to talk to some staff members also about the way how we, as a Commission for the Blind, operate our services. I'm a member of the state steering committee, and we had several meetings in November, December, to come out with a state plan, which was submitted to the legislators and to the governor's office, and it was already published. I think Mark, you are in one of the committees for that one too, right?
Yeah, I'm a stakeholder that gives feedback.
The on-state agencies that are involved in there are all the agencies and touches the life of people with disabilities. So almost everybody. including correction, believe it or not. We are trying to strengthen the technology class, change the regulations which will govern the technology class in Nebraska. And I had a meeting with the representative, actually a couple of representatives from UNL, one of them being Mike Hansen, the deputy director of purchasing from DAS, Division of Administrative Services, and a fellow from the office of the Chief Information Office, that's how they call it themselves, twice office, OCIO. It was a very productive meeting, and we are subcontracting, we, the Commission for the Blind, subcontracting with Chris Boone, who is helping us draft that first round of regulations. We plan to send that to the ADA State Task Force, which meets in quarterly months. I think the next one is in March. They are going to take a look at the draft. Then it's going to go for public hearing, and then we can amend the regulations. I also attended several meetings with the WIOA stakeholders in order to write first the combined portion of the plan, which all the state agencies have to agree on, and then individually work on the our portion of the combined state plan for the agency. Up to, I think on Thursday, it was published, the first draft is open for public comments. The public hearing will be February 10th. Unfortunately, I already scheduled attending a conference with Carol and Dave Robinson for MBE for such branch. But the public hearing is going to be on, it's going to be held on all the VR agencies. We can talk more about the role of the commissioner there in a bit. I saw that in the agenda. The main change that we have there is that, as you know, we don't have the standards and indicators anymore, so there is a different set of measurements. So that's in there, and also that we are going to be off order of selection in March. The Rehabilitation Services Administration is going to monitor our agency this year. That got us a little, I shouldn't say off guard, but we were hoping not to be monitored yet. And that notice was sent to us in early December. So several of us had to forget about our holidays and get all the documentation they needed. We have a committee. The members of the committee from the agency are Julie Buring, Carol Jenkins, Kathy Stevens, Kat Carroll, and myself. Kat work on all the internal control policies, which many of them we didn't have, so she had to work on that. Carol and Julie work on updating the VR manual and working on the new policies, or updating also the policies that rule the way we serve clients. Kathy Stevens work on getting together all the memoranda of understanding with all the agencies that we have that agreement with. We are going to have a conference call on February 5th, and then the committee or the team from RSA will come here the week of March 30th. In the past, they usually like to talk to one of the commission board members. So if one of you can be available that week will be great.
You don't need an answer now, or do you?
No.
Okay.
You just tell you the date.
I heard that pause. I thought, okay, who's
going to step up? No, I'm trying to find my next note here.
Okay, sorry.
In January 15, I also attended the stakeholders meeting with NCE-CBVI. That's a group of administrators and consumers that meet and go over the goals of the Nebraska Center for the Education of Blind Children and Visually Impaired to make sure that we are partners and that we can exchange ideas and support the betterment of the education of blind children in Nebraska. I know Barbara Loss is there, she and I ride together to that meeting. We are also planning to celebrate the 20th anniversary of the creation of the Commission for the Blind. As you know, we were already kind of a separate agency away from VR before, but as a separate, independent, consumer-driven agency, it's going to be 20 years this year. So we have a committee. Tentatively, we want to have that event before the, well, used to be August commissioner meeting, but I think this time it's going to be July 31st, no? If I'm not mistaken. So, but we would like to have some kind of ceremony or event the day before that, so if most of the commissioners can be present, that would be great. We want to take this opportunity to educate the public officials, about the services we provide. In fiscal year 2018, we served 154 clients under the OIB, or Older Individuals Who Are Blind. And in fiscal year 2019, we served 262 clients. So that's a little over 100 more clients than we served in a year. Now, I don't want to give you the impression that we are almost doubling the number of clients we are serving, but if you may recall, we used to limit the number of visits to OIB cases to 6 and then later 8. We are not doing that anymore, so we are keeping cases open to make sure that those clients do get the training they need. But we also recruited more clients when we had a statewide training. I forgot the day, I think it was back in May last year. And because we got some extra funds from the state legislators, we are being able to get clients at the center as well.
In other words, we're doing what we said we'd do. If you
Correct.
Give us more money, we can serve more people.
More people, more effectively too. We are also increasing the number of clients being served for pre-EDS. In fiscal year 2018, we have 147. And in fiscal year 2019, we from 120 to 147, and for supported employment from 75 to 81. Now, those two areas are the areas that the Rehabilitation Services Administration are putting emphasis on. So, again, we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. I just want to make sure that the credit should be given to the counselors and supervisors, because they are the ones who do all the hard work there. It's not easy to fulfill all the compliance. This year, the governor recognized Nancy Flerel and Larry Mackey for the Excellence and Leadership Award. That recognition is given to staff members who usually go beyond and above their normal duties, and last year was special because, as you know, we had to lay off people, we were short of staff, and those two individuals show that they work very hard, not only on supporting the staff members, but also helping everybody to get the morale up and working hard, so well deserved. At the center, as you know, we had an opening for home management, so we offered a job for that to Nicole Gauthier, who is going to start her center training on February 10th. We also offer the job for orientation counselor for the Norfolk area to Julie Cobbles. She's going to start working on February 5th, and her training center start on February 10th. As you also know, Nancy Kaufman is now the technology instructor at the center. So we are fully staffed at the center. For those who didn't know, at one point last year, we combined Braille and technology into one class. Now we have one full-time staff for each class, so those two classes are separate. So we are fully staffed there. We are pleased about it too, especially now that we are getting senior blind students. The position for the technology specialist from Lincoln and Carney are now being advertised, and we should be interviewing and hiring in the next few weeks. Kim Snitzer, the counselor, a VR counselor from Omaha, announced that she's going to leave the agency in order to continue her practicum hours needed for her license in mental health counseling. Her last day will be February 14th. After that, we are going to be advertising that particular job too. Larry Olson continues to be helping staff members on technology areas. Diana, Jesse, and Jan Brandt from the Carney office or area retired yesterday, officially speaking. After more than 30 years, they are going to be missed. And as I mentioned, several people who are leaving, retiring, it's stressful for all the supervisors, staff members, but at the same time, it's exciting to be, life is about renewing, evolving, so this is a chance to continue doing that. The position that Diana Jess is vacating is going to be reclassified, or has been reclassified, for a VR counselor. And that position is being already advertised, and I believe Carol and Erin will be interviewing candidates this coming Monday. Erin Brandyberry will now be the OIB coordinator as well as the North Platte District Supervisor. Cheryl Livingstone announced that she's retiring by the end of March. She's been working with us for 21 years. She's going to be also missed, and she's making sure that everybody knows she wants a big party. So, yeah, if you guys can make it, let us know. We want to do a big party for her. We will have our state staff meeting from April 6th through the 8th in Grand Island. During the third week of April, our field staff members will get training on placing clients or working with clients with multiple disabilities and also supported employment. Bill Santos is going to provide that training. He came maybe 15 years ago, I think. Connie and Nancy can correct me if I'm wrong. But when he came, he's one of the guys who helped us transform the mentality of our agency to do more placement. And the training that he provided back then was building trusting relationships with employers. It was a very good training, so he's coming back. On the field services, our counselors and supervisors continue to work on doing group home teaching for OIB and PH clients. In Lincoln, they included a financial, of how to manage your finances for clients. I think that's very good, because I need that sometimes. Well, easy things like, don't buy things if you cannot pay every month, kind of. They Our counselors also continue to work with the public schools, which is bringing more referrals for pre-ed clients. As I mentioned, we are having more pre-ed clients. Counselors also continue to work on doing placement, and the result is they're getting jobs on a variety of different areas, not just one kind of work. In the transition area, mentoring was already, so I'm not going to address the mentoring program. But we are going to be also contracting with Dr. Kerry Supalo. Dr. Supalo, I met him when he was finishing high school back in the early 90s, and I was in law school. He was telling me that he wanted to become a professor of chemistry, and back then I didn't meet scientists who were blind folks. Myself, when I was sighted, I didn't like chemistry, so I thought I was a blind guy. But I didn't discourage him, just wish him good luck. Then I saw or met him when he was in graduate school. He was struggling with lab classes and so forth. But rather than giving up, he wrote a proposal to the National Science Foundation and got the money and developed software and hardware for science, for both chemistry and physics. So he's giving us a special deal. I forgot the exact amount of money, but it's around half of what he usually sells the equipment for. And we are going to be contracting with him so he could come to train our staff members, vision teachers, speaking, and any trainer who want to know how to use that equipment, so blind students in Nebraska can have access to science.
Nice.
All right.
Yeah, so if any of you guys want to be part of that training session, let Carol know. We will also have a college workshop in March, and this is being we're subcontracting with Sky, is the Limit Communication entity. A former director of an agency for the blind, David Notaris, is putting this together. So the college workshop usually addresses issues like advocating for yourself, being able to take your own notes and retreat your own notes, technology, orientation and mobility around campus. Six pre-ed students from NCE CBVI attended a group teaching at the center, and that involved a collaborative cooking event between the students at the center and those six pre-ed students. Our counselors from Lincoln work on that, Shane also work on that, the teachers from the center, from Nebraska City also work on that. So once again, showing the collaboration we continue to have with them. That's very much on the field area. The training center, at this time we have 9 students, from which 2 of them are OIB clients. In 2 weeks, in 10 days, we are going to have 2 staff trainees. And if we hire 3 more people in the next few weeks, we might have 5 staff trainees there. So it's going to be busy. Yes. A couple of state senators toured the center, and after they toured the center, I got a couple of calls from their offices letting me know that the senators were impressed and then they didn't know the impact that we have for blind people in Nebraska. So we are going to continue doing those things because our public officials need to know that. The Department of Labor continues to send a person to the center to help our students work on job-seeking skills, like writing resumes and interview skills. The Nebraska Business Enterprise